I don't think God's done, so we'll just go where he wants to go. Bring that over. Is God a respecter of persons?
No.
Well, this side of the room. Is God a respecter of persons?
No.
Did he say he would give us buildings?
Yes.
Okay. Will he give us buildings?
Yes.
You can read the announcements. But you may want to see Alan if you're going to go on the youth thing in case there's any announcements that the youth need to know. And you need to sign up tonight if you're going to come to dinner before church next Saturday. I'm about to travel almost the longest I've been apart from my bride since we've been married. Not by choice, but it just happened that way. I'm going to get back to, is God a respecter of persons? My trip to Indonesia, as you all know, didn't happen in January because someone forgot to put fuel on the heater and keep the plane warm. So that trip has been added on to my trip to Vietnam. And then when some people heard that I was going to be over in the area, just a four-hour plane flight away, they asked me to go to northeastern Borneo. And then at a birthday party, the people that we established the Apostolic Center with in Cebu, Malaysia, and the center of Borneo, heard that I was coming, and I rebooked this ticket four times. So today I get an email from the people in Borneo, which was where last summer we established an Apostolic Center in Cebu, Malaysia, in eastern Malaysia. And when we were doing that, we conducted a two-day conference for their first gathering as an apostolic center. And we prophesied over the apostle, a woman, and the prophet that oversees it, a man, that they would be coming into the presence of people of resources. You know, when the Lord gives you words like that, you're glad that you're leaving. And, well, 2 weeks ago, they had a young lady at this age of life. Anyone less than 50 is a young lady to me. So they met this young lady who came to their apostolic center, and the Lord told her that they were to use for free one of their buildings. Well, it wasn't her building to do, so the next Sunday she brought her boss, who owns these five buildings, and it turns out that it's an academy, and each building can hold about 200 students. And during the service, the Lord spoke to him that they were supposed to ask River of Truth Restoration Center, that's the apostolic center, to come and use the building, to come and use their largest building, to come and use their chairs, to come and use their electricity, to come and use their air conditioning. You need air conditioning over there. I won't be wearing long sleeve shirts, but I will be coming back to snow. And for 50 ringgits a month, which is less than $20, they have full use of one of these buildings. Is God a respecter of persons?
No.
We need to be doing what they've been doing ever since they got those prophetic words. It's in the bulletin, push. Thank you, Paulie. They've been believing those words. They said, Lord, you sent the prophets to speak it. And so he's cleansed your lips. He's purified your heart. He wants you to be his voice in the places that he sends you to go. Are we releasing the teens tonight? Okay. Teens, you're dismissed. So, before they go, Casey has an announcement.
I'm a little biased, but I would like to pray and have you guys stand in agreement. Where he is going in Vietnam is not safe, either for him or the pastors that he will be meeting with. Actually, it's more dangerous for them than him.
They'll just deport me. I hope.
No. In the name of Jesus, we speak a blessing over Al as he travels, that every single connection will be made on time, that there will be no delays, there will be no cancellations, that he will be able to move across every border of every country that he is going to with ease and freedom. And we say to this luggage, be right with him, that it will not be left in one place, that it will not be delayed in any place, but that it will be there and that nothing will leak, nothing will spill, nothing will be broken, that it will travel with him as intended. And Lord, I ask that you would give to his heart the burning word of the Lord for every place that he goes. Lord, that it would be such a now word, that there would be life and dynamic life in it, that it would be life-changing to every place that he goes. And Lord, let the Holy Spirit that guides each one of us all over every place in this world not only touch them, but touch Al as well, that he would come back with an impartation from what God is doing in these other countries across the world with a fresh fire, with a fresh anointing, with fresh vision, and even a fresh revelation. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you.
Oh, and I ask, Lord, for his health, for all that wonderful food that he's going to try. That's different. In the name of Jesus.
Yep. And Father, we pray that Al would become invisible.
Yes.
Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that he would not be seen by any enemy, whether those in the flesh or those in the spirit. Lord, that you would surround him, that you would cover him. Lord, that he would not be seen, that he would be free to come and go anywhere you call him to, in the name of Jesus. And I pray, oh God, that he would not miss one divine appointment that you have for him. I wanted to just share it privately with you, but I want to speak it now, that I had a dream that you had an opportunity in one of these countries to lead a government person to the Lord, but not a higher up, like a military person, that could have meant harm to you, but that there is a divine appointment coming. So be aware of that and not afraid, because the Lord will protect you in that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. I used to tell people if I turned sideways, the rain wouldn't hit me. But I do need a stealth covering. I am taking a jacket with me to Vietnam, a windbreaker type jacket, because I don't blend in too easy. And like Casey said, it is dangerous for them to be seen going into a meeting with a Caucasian. So we will be commissioning an apostle and a prophet in Vietnam to start what will become an apostolic center in Ho Chi Minh City. So that'll be fun. I love the minor prophets. That just means they wrote a lot in a few pages. That's why they're minor prophets. Habakkuk chapter 2. I'm thinking we're going to be brief tonight. I may not be, but you will be. The Lord wants to use you, and he's been preparing you from the time he knit you together in your mother's womb. Not from the time you were born again, but he's been taking every life experience since he created you so that you can uniquely be used by him to further his kingdom in the earth. Now, what's the ultimate thing that you can do? Habakkuk 2, verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I'm almost all water. And after I shovel my driveway, there's not much of me left. You're almost all water. You are to be a glory carrier everywhere. We got to get over the mindset that the seas are just the things that lap up against the north, south, east, and west of this continent or the other continents. As the waters that you carry his glory, he's going to take you into divine appointments. We've been praying for divine appointments for this trip. But there's some things that he wants to do in your life, some things he wants to do in our corporate life, and some things he wants to do in the body of Christ this year to prepare us for the next 5 years. Scripture says in the Old Testament and the New, so that no one can say, well, that's Old Testament, a day in the life of the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. That means that for 1 year for you and I, it's 1.44 minutes for God. Okay? So he's got the next 7 minutes and more on his mind as he prepares us to take this 1.44 minutes called 2014. He's got all of the past, he's got all of the future, and he's got eternity in his hand. He's pretty big, isn't he? Is there anything he can't do? Is there anything he won't do? Yes. He won't sin. And we're in a place in time right now where he won't do what he wants to do in 5 years until you're ready. He won't do what he wants to do tomorrow until you're doing what he made you to do today. And by made, I mean created. He won't force us to do anything. We're in a place in time right now where we're waiting on God like this, twiddling our thumbs. And he's standing there shaking his head and saying, Jesus, where's your body? Where are your hands? Where are your feet? Where are your arms to embrace the lost? See, he's waiting for you and I to believe him at his word. In Amos, he said that he wouldn't do anything without first revealing it to his servants, the prophets. So the Lord has already spoken the things that he's wanting to do and that he's going to do in the earth and in this nation. We're connected and aligned with Glory of Zion. We are officially a church of Zion. Robert and Linda Heidler are the overseers over this church in our connection with Glory of Zion. And so we've known Chuck Pierce for almost 20 years. And in the mid-1980s, the Lord gave him a vision and told him everything that was going to happen in 10-year increments. And the Lord has already shown him what's going to happen over the next 30 years. He's got written down what's going to happen between then and 2020. And it's like a checklist. You can see the things that have happened historically. So the things that he prophesied decades ago have come to pass. the things that he's talking about for now we're seeing come to pass. Is the United States in really good financial shape? No. He prophesied that by the year 2016, China would be the leading economic country in the world. And the Lord has now shown him what's going to take place in the years beyond 2020, and he's writing another book. So the Lord has spoken not just to him, but to many of the prophets of what's about to take place. One of my favorite chapters in Scripture is 2 Chronicles 20. And there's a verse in there, it happens to be verse 20, that's one of my favorite verses. It says, "Believe God and you will be saved." Well, that's easy enough. "Believe his prophets and you will prosper." If we had paid attention to the prophets, we'd be walking in the prosperity of the kingdom of God. Not for us to have so much that we didn't know what to do with it, but so that the kingdom of God could have gone forward at a greater pace than what we've been taking it forward. Turn to Joel chapter 2. I am one of the people that, so if you're in Habakkuk, you got to go left in your scripture. I'm one of the people that teaches that the upper room was not the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Because the only people in the upper room were believers. And the scripture very clearly says that he was going to pour his spirit out on all flesh. So I want to look at all of Jonah chapter 2, or Joel chapter 2. I'm looking at Jonah. I didn't go far enough. And I'll leave it up to you to read this. I'm not going to read the 32 verses, but we're going to pull out pieces of the 32 verses of things that need to happen in our lives this year to prepare us. Things that we're going to be seeing taking place. Here's overall what God is doing. He's taking different people, different houses, fellowships, families, congregations, and he's putting us in order just like he did with Israel. He is aligning the body of Christ so that we can go forward as his army. But not just aligned, he's aligning us so that he can consolidate us into a force that can't be withstood by darkness. And when he does that, can you stand up for a minute? He's aligning us, not that we're walking like this, but he may put us like this, he may put us like this. He's leaving what I call interstitial spaces, places between us. In molecules, there's interstitial spaces, very, very small places. Because there's an angel right here. See, when he sends the army out, he is not the commander of the hosts of the earth or the commander of the hosts of heaven. He's the commander of the hosts of heaven and earth. And for too long, the body of Christ has wanted to walk in the flesh. We can do it, can't we? But we haven't walked with the equipping of the supernatural called angels. Several years ago in Texas, during a worship service, the Lord showed me that there were thousands of angels assigned to every man and woman that was willing to walk for the Lord. Not an angel. You have an angel. But he has angels on assignment to do the things that he's asked you to do when we get into a line with his word and allow him to do it. That's what's going to keep me stealth in Asia. I'm not going to go around with a bag over my head. I'm going to have angel wings around me. Now, Casey gets to see those. I get to feel them. That's just the way he's made us. I get to feel evil. She gets to see evil. Feeling's just fine, thank you very much. She's described it to me. It's not pretty. So here's some things that Joel says are going to happen in the end times. Let me give you a quick course on history. 1,000 years is one day for God. Everything in Scripture, if you look at third day occurrences, they are resurrection, they are life, they are significant moves of the Messiah. Jesus died, and there was 1,000 years, and the church sort of waned. And then there was the Dark Ages for another 1,000 years, and there were some awakenings around the world. But in 2001, we began the third day. We are living in the third day of our resurrected Lord. We are living in a time where he wants every man, woman, and child called by his name to be anointed in his spirit and doing the work of Jesus. Can we do that? This side of the room, yes. Some of this side of the room. We can do that. In Africa and Asia, we get shouted down. You know what that is? That's people responding. So here's the first thing that's going to take place. The Lord is going to revoke an adverse sentence that's been spoken against your lineage. And he's going to remove a reproach. He's going to revoke an adverse sentence and remove a reproach. Some of us have things in our lineage that we've just let stay there. The Lord taught Moses and said, "Teach my people to repent of their sins and the sins of their forefathers daily." In doing this, he's given you authority to command the destroyer to leave your bloodline. So he's going to reverse, he's going to revoke the adverse sentence, and he's going to remove the reproach, but you've got to do the rebuking. You've got to command the destroyer to leave. If you don't think you can do that, read Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Jesus said he's given you all authority. See, we've got to look at the areas of our lives that we've allowed to just be copacetic and just be status quo. Because God's not going to take us to that place 5 years from now if I'm still dealing with the stuff from 50 years ago. I can say that because I can still deal with stuff from 50 years ago. See, God's ready to overturn those sentences that were spoken as soon as we're willing to deal with the issues so that he can put us on the path he wants us to move forward in. The second thing that he's doing that you find in Joel chapter 2 is that David's house is going to rise again. The house of David is going to rise up again. This year we should look for things associated with the house of David to come alive in a whole new way. That means we're going to have different forms of worship. Don't expect, well, you never expected here to come to three fast songs, three slow songs, and go home. But expect God to show up and direct our worship. The third thing is he's going to pour out a spirit of grace and favor and supplication in great measure. We see that in Zechariah chapter 12. See, this passage isn't just about what happened in the book of Acts. And a lot of people have said, well, that happened. Well, like I said, it has not been poured out on all flesh. That means believers and unbelievers. Can God do that? He sure can. He did it in the Old Testament. He did it in the New Testament. And he can do it today. It's going to be 7 times greater than it was in the upper room. Why? Because there's a greater harvest. All of this is about harvest. Father's heart is on the harvest. He is always about souls coming to him. In Zechariah 12, God says that he's going to pour out a spirit of grace and favor and supplication on you. Bring it on, Lord. This means that he's going to take you back to the place where your prayer life started. And he's going to make it all over again. Have you ever played a game and asked for a redo? Well, this is the year of the redo. You know where I started my prayer life? My mother taught me to pray. On my knees at night, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray you, Lord, my soul to keep. God, I'm not dying before I wake, because if I do, I'm in your presence. See, he's already starting to change my understanding. But he's going to take us back to that place where what we thought was good and didn't allow him to make very good, he's now going to make very good. A new manifestation of the spirit of grace, favor, and supplication. Just take a minute right now and ask Father to give you a redo in your prayer life. See, he wants every one of you to be a giant in prayer. He wants you to move from Joel chapter 2, verse 27, where we pray and God hears and we feel real good about it, to be in a place where you are his ambassador in the earth. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, you decree a thing, it comes to pass, and his light shines upon your path. He wants every one of his sons and daughters to be moving with the authority of heaven on earth. The fourth thing is that we see the former and the latter rains, the early and the latter rains coming. How many of you know that Israel is in a drought? Even though they got a tremendous snowstorm, that was all the snow they got. It's springtime over there now. They're in a drought. How many of you know that the southwestern United States is in terrible trouble? Now, first of all, what kind of rocket scientist would build a community in the middle of the desert? That's what California was, by the way. Putting in all these man-made reservoirs and then going off and thumbing their nose at God and saying, we're going to shed innocent blood. We're going to break every covenant. We're going to worship whoever we want. And we're going to be as immoral as we want. And they defiled the land, and look what's happened. He has sent warnings. I believe he wants to send rain. I believe he wants to redeem the land. I believe he's redeeming the United States of America and North America. I don't think he's done with us. I'm asking him for an awakening that will cause the nations of the earth to stand up and take notice that Jesus is Lord. Yes. You know, when the United States gets awakened, the world gets shaken. The last time that happened, almost 100 years ago, 1906. And it lasted with wave after wave after wave. Well, then you had to go to Canada because we sort of got in the way. But I believe he's going to bring physical rain, because rain in the old covenant was always a sign of covenant with God being honored. So when they called for rain, it was a sign that they were the covenant sons and daughters of the Most High God. I believe he's going to bring physical rain, but I also believe he's going to bring an outpouring of spiritual rain, more of the Holy Spirit on us. God said through Joel that he would bring back the early rains and the latter rains. We had a lot of rain on Wednesday. It came in the form of flakes, but we had a lot of rain. My house, we had 1.3 inches of rain, 13 inches of snow. He's raining on the earth. We need to ask him to rain in the places where we've broken covenant. Hey, just because we live on the East Coast and they're on the West Coast, they are a part of us because we're part of the same nation. I repent of the sins of my forefathers, the sins of my nation, and the sins of my generation because I are a part of each of them. Sorry. I have to apologize for my grammar. English is a fun language to abuse. If you are a part of it, you have authority in it. I don't have authority to stand over here and point to it, but I have authority to be in my generation and to speak to it, in my nation and speak to it, and in my lineage and speak to it. And that's what he wants us to do. Ask him for rain as a sign of his covenant. The fifth thing that we see in Joel 2 is that he's filling the threshing floors. See, he says that he's going to bring a whole bunch of harvest to you. He's going to bring in a whole bunch. And you know what you and I like to do? We like to do this. We think in terms, because we're not agrarian, we're Delarian. Oh, look. Oh, what's that doing in there? We tend to take the whole thing, stick it away, and not ask him what he wants to do with it. See, the threshing floor, what he's going to do is he's going to bring in the wheat and the tares, and he's asking us to trust him to separate it. He's asking us that when he brings us the harvest, we let him take away the tares, not us. You know what? For pastors, and I'm not a pastor, for pastors, that is very releasing to know that God's going to do that and all they have to do is work with those that want the way of the Lord. So, Lord, here's our threshing floor. We say pile it up with whatever you want to put on it. Bring it, heap it up, and you know what? When his wind blows on it, guess who gets the breath of God blowing on them? All of us that are willing to labor in the threshing place. The sixth thing that he's doing that we find in Joel 2 is that he's replacing and restoring the four levels of loss. See, there's a cycle. Loss is a cycle. And for too many of us, we keep going around and around and around the cycle. I'm ready to step out of the cycle of loss. How about you? I'm ready to have him get me to the place where now I can hold the provision that he has for me. He's going to break us out. This passage is saying that God can come and place and replace and restore all four levels of loss in our life. The seventh thing that he says he's doing is he's going to give a new outpouring with prophecy, signs, and wonders. Without any limitations. Well, after you take foundations, and after you take prophecy 101, 102, and 103, no limitations. Without a caste system, he's going to come and he's going to pour his spirit out with prophecy, signs, and wonders like the earth has never seen before. See, he's redoing corporate gatherings. Last Saturday night was an example. If we weren't so bound by the clock, we probably could have gone a lot longer with prophecies. Over in Asia, they will wear us out. We have to say when. As a matter of fact, in the 9 days we're ministering in Vietnam, every one of the leaders wants us to minister to every couple. So we've said, okay, we've already talked. We said, okay, we're going to do this many on Monday, this many on Tuesday, this many, because they all think it's going to be the last day. Lord, cause the sun to stand still. But we've got this way that we think things have to happen. How many of you know that God's in control of our services? When Christine got the word and she released it, at least six people have told us that that word spoke to them. I'm not sure if this word is really for anybody here or not. Okay, if God spoke it, all we have to do is speak it. And then Stephen had a confirmation of it, and other people were starting to send me things that would add to it. You're going to have a field day in the service next Saturday. I believe Holy Spirit's going to move on all of you. Come prepared to give something from the Lord back to the Lord and to the body. That is New Testament scriptural. Come with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song. If you don't speak in tongues, ask him to fill you. You will speak in tongues. See, there's always a governmental order in the house, but there's not a caste system and there's not a limitation on who can prophesy and how to prophesy. Scripture here in Joel says that he's going to pour his spirit out on men servants and maid servants, on the young and on the old, no caste system. How many of you are willing to be a vessel for the glory of the Lord to pour through? Lord, here they are. You see the hands. Use them. Not just in the house. This is a safe place to practice. I am very thankful for the meetings in Tennessee and the home group meetings here and the shepherding group meetings at Shepherd's Heart and the gatherings that we've had that I was able to have my training wheels on. I was very thankful for some of those when I'd be sitting there. God's talking to you. Yeah, we all go through that, don't we? And then Holy Spirit travels on and we're sitting there. Thank God for someone next to you that says, it's your turn to get up and speak. There is no caste system. There is a governmental order. And there are no limitations. If the Spirit takes over, we're just going to go where he goes. If he gives words of knowledge, I believe that this is going to be not just a spiritual healing house ministering deliverance, but there are going to be signs and wonders and physical healings that come out of this place. Hey, if he can do it with me, he can do it with anybody, right? He's not a respecter of persons. You've already told me that tonight. So, the eighth thing that we also see in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 21, Acts 2, 17 through 21, and Romans 10, 13, is that the triumphant reserve begins to arise. This is what we've been talking about, the victorious bride of Jesus and regions beginning to rise up. See, when people hear that God is doing something through Clem Kadiddlehopper, some of you are old enough to know who that is. He was a fictional character. I see that hand. You know, I've always wondered on videotaped churches where, and we know several people in the South that have multiple churches, they record the first service and then they play it for the next six that day. When someone raises their hand and they say, I see that hand, and you're sitting there watching it on video, are you looking around to see whose hand is up? Anyhow, Clem Kadiddlehopper was a character of Red Skelton. But just anybody. When Holy Spirit, when people hear that Holy Spirit's moving through so-and-so and so-and-so, not some big name, not a title, all of a sudden they're drawn to what Jesus is doing through his sons and daughters. See, Father wants to use you and me to get the attention of the world to a place of harvest. See, when they do that, they get expectant that there's something better than what they're seeing on the nightly news. See, you and I have a choice. We can come to church on Saturday night, or we can go out and live in the world. We can go to church on Sunday morning, or we can go out and live in the world. Where I'm going, they have that same choice, but they don't have the freedom to do it like you and I do. Here's a tidbit about Indonesia. They've stopped taking the census there. Do you know who takes the census? The census? It is senseless. The Muslims. Because Christianity's been growing so much, they don't want the numbers out. The same thing is happening in Singapore, but it's a little more balanced. Christians are a tenth of a percentage point greater than the Muslims now. But the main religion there is Buddhism. See, he's taking us back to where we first met him. Do you remember the time you were first filled with the Spirit? If you haven't experienced that yet, see one of us afterwards. Ask the person next to you to pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit. But he's taking us back to that place, and he's giving us a new plumb line of his presence. You know what a plumb line is? If you ever done wallpaper, I hate doing wallpaper. That's Casey's job. I'll prep the walls, but it gives you a guide straight. He's going to take us back and he's going to give us a new plumb line and he's going to reorder our steps so that we can get on the path forward. See, here's been most of our walks, including mine. And maybe this year I got out this far. But I'm not doing what he wants me to do. He doesn't want us wandering in the wilderness. The whole reason they wandered in the wilderness was because there was a whole generation that didn't really believe he was God. Now, how could you see the 10 signs against the 10 gods of Egypt? How could you see the Red Sea part? How could you see manna every day? But see, that's how deep-seated doubt and unbelief is. It went back generations. I counted them. There were at least 10 generations from the doubt of Abraham to the children that eventually went into the promised land. That's what he's dealing with in us this year. Let him take away those areas of doubt and unbelief, because he wants you to be known as a man and woman of faith. The Psalms say that we are to pray for the peace and the prosperity of Jerusalem. Do you want to be blessed? Well, it says, blessed are they who pray for the peace and the prosperity of Jerusalem. I take that beyond. I pray for the peace and the prosperity of Israel. I pray for Jerusalem first, but I pray for Israel. We're already starting to see it, and then I'm going to read you a portion of a prophecy that was released by Chuck Pierce next week, because I believe this is a prayer assignment for every believer. But we're going to begin to see nations realigning relative to Israel. How many of you know that Canada right now is closer to Israel than the United States of America? The Canadian Prime Minister is wooing Israel. He has said that no matter what, they will stand up for Israel. As a matter of fact, at the 8 leading economic nations of the world meeting last spring, early summer, he stood up when our president was going to ramrod through something that was anti-Israel. He stood up and stopped it before Obama could even speak and said, we will stand with Israel. See, all of these 8 nations have to be in agreement. That's the boldness you and I are supposed to have. Do you know that if you stand up and speak righteousness from a place of peace and joy, no one wants a grapefruit Christian, then those that were going to bring the negative reports sort of back down. Well, we already know that the Prime Minister's resolved to stand with Israel. So I guess there's no sense bringing up my proposal. Thank you, Jesus, for moving on him with holy boldness to stand up and to stop that. But we're going to see nations realigning around Israel. I won't say who, but it was a prophet that's internationally known. It was not Chuck. Early last month said that there's going to come a stand against Israel, and no one was going to stand with her, not even the United States. And he said, you know why? Because God's not going to let them. Because he wants the world to know that he is the Lord who saves Israel. Never thought about it that way. Now, the 9th thing is that those nations are going to be realigning. On the 31st of January, Chuck prophesied that we are to start watching Iran around the 18th of March. And then from the 21st to the 28th of March, watch Iran very carefully. Now, let me tell you a story before I finish with this prophecy so you see why it's important. That's a call for us to intercede. The 18th, begin watching. 21st to 28th, watch very carefully. Several years ago, last century. It's fun to say that. Do you know that you are a bicenturion? You've lived in 2 centuries. Not a whole lot of generations can say that. There was a prophecy that an earthquake was going to devastate California and that it was going to fall off into the sea by a renowned international prophet. That prophecy obviously has not yet come to pass. I believe it was thwarted. Because when that prophecy was released, the intercessors of the Lord went to the 13 major fault lines in California, and they did prophetic acts and reconciliational repentance for every defiling deed that was done in that land. And one of the faults was where a whole First Nations tribe was massacred because of the gold that was found on their land. Shedding of innocent blood, breaking of covenants were the two main things that they dealt with. Idolatry, because they put gold ahead of God. But I believe that when they did that over those 13 major sites, that it pleased God that they responded to the prophetic warning. Now, there was some in the body of Christ that were saying, yeah, judge those sodomites, judge those sinners. If you don't remember those times, it was really interesting to see the ungodly reaction of the children of God. Because God always wants to extend mercy in the midst of judgment. Always. So, knowing that, we're to watch Iran. We're to be in prayer. Even begin looking at the end of February and to be praying over Iran. As you look at Iran, you have to know that they will have revival. Now, how does revival take place? Someone intercedes for them. See, when you intercede, you are agreeing with the one who is sitting at the right hand of God, ever making intercession for us. Whosoever will. Doesn't matter if they're Democrat, Republican, or Iranian. He's making intercession for us. And so when we come into agreement with the Lord, it releases him to do what he wants to do. Did you know that you can keep God from doing what he wants to do? He's given the earth to who? Us, the sons of men. He's waiting for us. We don't know who or how Iran will have revival. But it's going to come, and it will become a huge separation in the nation of Iran. Do you know that by percentage right now, Iran has the highest percentage of Christians in their nation? They don't have a whole lot of people. But the Lord is moving by his Spirit, and underground churches are springing up. He's moving by this thing called the internet. And people are having dreams that they're to turn on their computer and watch a channel on the internet. And everything that they watch on there is what they saw in their dream talking about this person called Yeshua. Iran's going to rise up in some new focused attack. We don't know what it is. So we have to watch Iran very carefully. And when you watch and pray, start setting hedges around them. Do you know that you can do that? You can ask the Lord to send angels to thwart. Here's how I do it. You don't have to do it my way. I just say, Lord, I ask you to release. Michael is the governmental angel. Michael is the angel that's assigned to the nation of Israel in particular, but he is the governmental archangel. I said, Lord, send Michael and the hosts of heaven to expose, thwart, and destroy every demonically inspired plot, plan, and scheme set against Israel to change time, seasons, or laws, or to steal, kill, and destroy in Israel. Is that according to his word? Is it against a person? No, it's against the principalities and powers. You have all authority in earth. That's the first heaven. When any principality or power, including Satan himself, Luke 10:19, comes into the earth realm, we have authority to tell him to go, or we can not use our authority. It's time to start using our authority. So, God wants us to be a prophetic people. Like I said earlier in Amos, he has said that he will not do anything without first revealing it to his servants, the prophets. I believe he spoke to Chuck last week so that we could be praying so that Israel can come into her inheritance and Iran can come into her inheritance. Amen? Let's stand up. I had 5 messages with me tonight. I've been writing messages so that when I get over there, I can throw them all away. That's what happened last time. Lord, I thank you that you are calling us to be a prophetic voice in this hour, that you have asked each of us to be your ambassador in the earth, to hear what you are saying, to see what you are doing, and then to do it in the earth realm so that everyone will have the opportunity to bow their knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, I ask that you would birth faith in greater measures in each and every one of us. Lord, that there would even be your gift of faith burning in the hearts of my brothers and sisters, that they would begin to hear you in the day and in the night watches, and they would begin to honor you at what you show them to do. Lord, I ask that as you give them faith, Holy Spirit, that you would add to them holy boldness and courage, that they would go into the places that you've called them to go, knowing that by divine appointment, you are using them to bring your glory to bear. Lord, I ask that you would give them even the ability to harvest for your greater glory. I ask that you would make them a sharp threshing instrument, Lord, that you would use them to bring in the wheat and the tares, and Lord, we give you permission to separate out what you don't want, and Lord, that you would use what you do want for your greater glory. Lord, I ask that you would give each and every person who hears this message a heart to be able to honor you and to reach the next generation so that you will have touched 3 generations with your word, and we will see you come in all your glory. Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise, and we ask that you would extend your grace in the midst of our trials. Lord, that you would extend your mercy in the midst of our judgments, and Lord, that you would show us how to take your kingdom forward in greater measure. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you all. Have a very blessed week. And guys, don't forget that Friday's Valentine's Day.